You're listening to the Blowhole on Finsider Radio. What a win, Rob.
Oh,
I can't remember. I can't remember the last time. I believe we came back from a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter once, but the last time there was a shootout, like, what was the last shootout like that that we saw? I'm thinking like Chad Henne versus Mark Sanchez on Monday Night Football. That's the last one I remember. Remember that one where Ted Ginn had like three touchdowns and we all thought Henne was going to be awesome?
No, I do not ever remembering Henne, thinking Henne would be awesome. I remember hoping Henne would be awesome.
It was like one of his first games, like after Pennington got hurt. And anyway, we're not going to talk about that. But my, how dead did you think we were? Like, I was openly recruiting Lamar Jackson to come to the Miami Dolphins.
Well, funny enough, I'm on a text chain with a Ravens fan. He's actually in Baltimore, and he wasn't at the. He usually goes to a lot of the home games. Even he wasn't there, and he was never comfortable just because he knew how banged up their DBs were, and I think he was just prepping himself. I don't know what it was, but he's like, there's still a lot of time left. And this was like at halftime, like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but we need to take that first drive and score. And like, we didn't, but holy moly. That was amazing,
man. I didn't even introduce ourselves. So my name is James Radio for any new listeners we might have. I'm still very, very excited. I rewatched the game, the night before. I think it was last night or maybe the night before, on NFL Network. It was great. But yeah, I'm James Radio. I'm the host, and then I'm joined by my ever optimistic sidekick, Rob Cast. So
I've been downgraded from co-host to sidekick. I like it. When did that happen?
No, I'll promote you to.
Did that happen?
Senior.
Did that happen when you screwed me over twice this week and made me sit here waiting for you to join a Zoom that you never joined last night?
I guess, yeah, the entitlement probably comes from that. Anyway, no, Rob is actually the brains of the operation, believe it or not.
It is hard to believe.
So, I mean, normally we do the recap, but I just, there's so much to recap. I can't.
I mean, we don't have to go play by play, drive by drive, but I mean, we could talk about our favorite and least favorite things, maybe, that, you know, that happened. And, you know, I have my pregame feeling. Then I had my halftime feeling.
The start, right from the jump, the opening kickoff, 103 yards. I don't remember the last time we gave up a kick return to start the game. That was
ugly starting in that hole. But again, yeah. Part of me was like, well, if we could do what we did to them last night, you know, we can come back from this. But
correct. But that also didn't happen. So then we got the ball. Right. We didn't really do anything with it. Then the Ravens had the ball forever.
Yeah.
And got all the way down to the one scored, had it overturned. And then they went for it on fourth down. And it was the beginning of a very rough day for them on fourth down.
Yeah.
Where they needed 6 inches and could not get the snap.
They
fumbled it and were, you know, they lost 6 yards on a.
It's funny because it's their fault, right? They fumbled on fourth. I think, you know, I would think the odds of them scoring on that play are pretty high. But
oh, yeah,
the defense was amazing at the goal line up to there, right? You know, I mean, stopping him three times is hard. Stopping him four is even harder. So they shoot themselves in the foot.
And we go right down. We tie it. We go all the way downfield. We tie the game 7-7. And I'm like, okay, now we're back to 0-0. Now we can let our defense do our thing. And they just, I think it was the very next drive, they hit that 75-yard pass where we had a zero blitz. And
hey,
they were ready for it. They were ready for it.
You had to try it. You had to see if they could do it, if they had a counter.
I like that we didn't stop. I mean, we were zero blitzing a lot of the day. Like, it's not like we stopped.
Right. Well, you have to disguise it. You have to mix it up.
Of course.
But I did want to rewind a tiny bit, and I know there's too much to go over everything, but last week I was praised, like, yeah, the offense didn't look great, but I said how the Pats kept pinning us back, and I was so happy to see play calling in our own end zone that wasn't just like run the ball three times and punt, or worse, you know, throw a screen in the end zone. Yeah. So that play, that drive we were just talking about when we got it on like the 6 yard line, we actually lose yards on the first play. So it's on like the 2 yard line. And again, I told you, if you listeners haven't seen it, Dan Orlovsky has a great breakdown of that play, that big hit to Waddle on that, the, you know, that starts that drive, and just talks about how that is set up by the formation. We come out, two running backs, one tight end, two wide receivers, 21 personnel, and that puts them in a base defense because that's a running formation. Then all of a sudden it's wide. All of a sudden it's Gesicki's wide, Ingold's wide. I don't even remember if it was Edmonds or Mostert, but they're wide. And that puts Patrick Queen, a linebacker, on Waddle. And, I mean, Waddle made him fall. Even if he didn't fall, he was catching that ball and running. But, I mean, he juked him so bad the guy fell down. Yes. So it was amazing. And Ingold blocking downfield. Like, love to see of that. Oh, yeah. Love to see it. And just the fact that, like, we have play designs for situations. Like, thinking. It's just we haven't seen. I can't remember the last time we've seen an offense that was, like, designed to give us that advantage. You need those advantages. You need these advantages playing crappy teams. Forget about it. Playing the Ravens. Oh, so
schemes,
good to see.
Yeah, putting people in position to succeed. Things that, you know, competent offenses should do. You know, quite frankly, things that we thought we were getting in Joe Philbin and Adam Gase, and
we hope this things already we hoped looks we were getting
light years ahead of the best we ever saw from either one of them.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So again, yeah, great, amazing play call, amazing design. You know, a lot of this stuff is being set up, and one of the things I do love about McDaniel, and you know, you had touched on this as well, is he's very earnest. Like, he's very genuine. Like, he doesn't seem, you know, he doesn't seem cocky. Like, he seems genuinely happy to teach and see his team succeed. You know, and if he, you know, if he makes mistakes, he owns them. Right?
Oh, just like, yeah, like last week, after week one, Nathaniel Hackett, at first trying to defend, you know, his god awful play calling and time management and all that, and after a win, Mike McDaniel coming out and being like, "I have to get the play in sooner. That's on me. Like I need to do better." So it's like just that, yeah, that accountability is amazing. What he expects from the players, he expects from himself. He doesn't put himself over. These guys are having fun. Even with now, you know, after the game, talking about like his halftime. Could you imagine Flores, you know, ripping the team to shreds, and McDaniel's like, "Guys, let's just go out there and have some fun. Let's play a game and have fun." And like the guys were loose. And came out and did an incredible comeback. I just love him. And not to totally fast forward, because we'll get to it, but the time management. The time management on that last drive, the announcers, "You gotta quick call a timeout,
oh,
call a
I
timeout."
Love
I'm
that.
Like,
yeah.
No, you don't. You don't want to leave them any time. We have two timeouts. We could stop this clock and still have three shots at the end zone with our two timeouts. Like, we don't need to call one here. And
we'll
just,
get there.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
But
we'll
I know, but it fit in with the
loved.
McDaniel praise. So I wanted to squeeze it in there. I know it was.
Yeah. We'll get back to that. But we're in the first half now. One of the things I did want to talk about a little bit was, I think we were, I believe the game plan to start with was to be very, very run heavy in this game. It kind of seemed like those were the first few drives, first few plays. Saw a lot more Raheem Mostert than Chase Edmonds in this game, and I feel like that was by design. And I thought Mostert looked. I'm on record as saying I think they're both very, very good backs. I think they're.
We both like them. No, I mean, you're team Mostert, I'm team Edmonds. We both love them both and want them both to do well. But like, we've had the argument before, and this week you were completely right. Mostert looked. He got the start. And he looked amazing. Edmonds looked good when he got his chances, but Mostert looked like the Mostert in San Francisco, like healthy, fast, and looked awesome.
Yeah, and it's going to be based on, and I can't say it enough, like how much I love the fact that there are schemes and there seem to be like plans for certain situations where this guy is going to do this and this guy is in this situation for this purpose and this is what he excels at and we're going to put him in these situations
and the situational play calling that Edmonds run at on the last drive, like where did that, you know, like it was great
watching him. Yeah, so we get through So the first half, the way the first half ends is pretty catastrophic. Tua throws two interceptions. The first one, he's throwing into triple coverage. It should not have been. I mean, you shouldn't throw into triple coverage, but it should not have been intercepted. It was an amazing play on the ball. So they get the first interception, and then that led to points. And then the second interception, they were down 21-7, and just a very bad throw.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't even. One of the few times this season that Tua's made a couple of them, I suppose.
Like, he had one in New England that was
New
dropped
England as well. Yeah, but it was just like, yeah. And we're used to kind of seeing those from him now at this point. Like at least one a game. That one was real bad. Like I have no idea what the thinking was there. And then Baltimore goes down, gets a touchdown before the end of the half, 28-7. We did get one back early on in the second half. Touchdown pass to Mike Gesicki. Nice looking drive. Made it 28-14.
Great throw.
Great
and
drive.
Great catch.
Yeah. So they came out loose. Like I like the way they came out in the second half, and then Baltimore gets the ball right back, and then they just score immediately. So they had that one very long drive at the beginning of the game, but most of their other possessions for the rest of the game were either they score really quick or, you know, they don't really do anything with the possession. So
I will say, Baltimore, they had some pretty good play designs going on. I think that Lamar run, I thought it was a jet sweep. Just opened up like the Red Sea, and they had a couple of that they played on our aggressiveness and they got us going the wrong way on a couple of those. And you know, they're a good offense. That's what they're supposed to do. But yeah, I just wanted to mention, like, you know, they had some good play calls that definitely had our defense is better than what we saw, and our offense, as great as, since it is the greatest offense in the league, it's probably not as good as we saw.
and this is where the game, I mean, I think they had set the momentum by getting that touchdown early in the second half, right? Like, and now they were in rhythm on offense, so they give up that touchdown right back. Lamar Jackson goes 79 yards and gets him, you know, it's 35-14 at this point. You know, we're thinking moral victories at best. Like, let's see if we can get some, you know, get another score, you know, get maybe two more touchdowns on the board here on these guys. But we responded beautifully. Beautiful drive right down the field. I don't remember if it was a first and goal or a second and goal, but the Craycraft touchdown.
It might have been third. Hey, so many of those touchdowns were on third down. So many of his big throws were on third down. It was
nine
insane.
Of 11 on third down, which is just amazing. Just ice water in his veins. But yeah, just a beautiful spin move, because you have an edge rusher just coming completely unblocked, and he gave him that juke. He gave him that spin, and it just took him right off. And then Craycraft is right there.
By the way, the third and longs, the second and long. How many years has it been that one mistake, a stuffed running back, a false start, a holding, just would end a drive? Because if we didn't gain 3 yards or more on each play, we weren't going to get a first down. We weren't. And the fact that now it's just like, oh, second and 25, okay, boom. Oh, it's just, yep. Oh, mate. Oh,
we're going to get 12 here. We got a play that's going to get us 12, guaranteed.
Oh,
right?
It gives me, I got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps.
So 35-21, Ravens get the ball. They don't do anything. We get the ball back. This is the drive where it's 35-21. They do start moving the ball, and then they have a fourth down at midfield.
Even at the time, I was like, you kick this field goal. When you got this lead, you kick this field goal. I mean, I'm glad they didn't, but that was one of the things I was texting with my Raider. A Madden game between the friends had just happened, and somebody early on in a tie game didn't kick the field goal and ended up losing by the field goal. And it was like, we were laughing because it kind of was a similar situation.
So they go for it again. They do not get it. Lamar Jackson stopped short of the first down.
Can we just sing this? I mean, the Dolphin fans know how great Zach Sealer is. I hear a few national folks talk about it. I think Mina Kimes, I saw her tweet even last week and mentions like how he's so underrated. That dude's amazing.
Another gift from the Ravens.
Yeah.
poached from their practice squad. So get the ball close to midfield. Don't do anything with the first couple plays. Got a 3rd and 10. And
the effort. The effort.
The
play.
Effort. Yeah. The effort call. And Hill just torches him. Just goes straight up the middle of the seam, torches both the corner and the safety. The throw, and I will say this, I've said this a whole bunch to the, you know, I it's well documented. I'm not Tua's biggest fan, but I'm definitely not a Tua hater either. Not in the Tuanon side of things, but not a Tua hater. I would much rather have an underthrown ball because you can adjust to that and make the catch, which we saw, as opposed to, you know, if he sailed it, and we didn't get that. That's unforgivable. So I'll take a slight underthrow 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, us Tuanon, a proud card carrying member, us Tuanon folks, we just hate that people when the national media shows that, they talk like no other guy has ever been underthrown, when like half right. of those bombs the guy is holding up for him. It's hard to do. it's just ridiculous. But yeah, it was great.
He hit him, touchdown. It's at this point it's a one score game, which is crazy. So we're at the Dolphins bar, we're going absolutely nuts at this point. And there is one Ravens fan who's been there with us watching the game the whole time. Great sport. His name was Tim. He was awesome. But at this point it's now a one score game. Baltimore gets the ball back. X drops that pick six.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and that was when it went in my mind. Like, it was like, you know, all right, you know, same
that
old
was
Dolphins,
our shot.
Like, we're not going to get it done here. However, not the same old Dolphins. We do end up getting the stop and getting the ball back. Another 3rd and long from around the 40. And this time the Ravens just decide they're not going to cover Tyreek Hill at all.
Bust that coverage.
And Tua hit him, and that was in stride, not underthrown. But I mean, the guy was dashing wide open down the sideline. So, that's 35-35, 5 minutes left. Ravens definitely feeling desperate at this point. Put together a pretty nice drive. They get into field goal range, 38-35, because Justin Tucker, you know, makes everything. Left too much time on the clock for your boy Tua.
Sure did. Like way too much time. We had to burn some of it.
Exactly. And then there's the beauty. Some really nice throws on that drive. Starting out with a nice seam route to Hill over the middle. And then just getting all the way down there to the
run.
Yeah,
Edmonds had the big run.
They're completely on the ropes at that moment in time. And it's a good thing that he didn't score on that run. Because there would have been enough time left on the clock for them to get back down there. And then, yeah, the announcer screaming, oh, I would have taken a timeout there. Oh, well, you would have lost the game then.
Probably, yeah. Probably lost to a Justin Tucker, another Justin Tucker. Well, no, they would have had to score.
They would have needed to score.
So it would have just been more interesting, but you don't want to be in that position if you don't have to. You want to score or kick that field goal and go to overtime. You don't want to have any time left after your decision.
They had plenty of they're screaming for timeouts, and like even everybody in the bar was like, these guys, what are they talking about? Like they got plenty of time. Like there was no urgency. Like Tua looked calm, collected. The team looked like they'd been there before, which let's be clear, they had not. Like this is not something that we're accustomed to seeing, but they all looked like the moment was not too big for them. And they were just having fun. And you saw it when they scored that touchdown. Like you saw just how much, like, you know, how they believe in Tua and that, like, they believe in the system, they believe in the coach. It's just a totally different mindset right now. Like I love it. I love it. The Ravens had 19 seconds. They got a couple plays off. They did not score. Final score, Miami Dolphins 42, Baltimore Ravens 38. Rob, if you combine our two picks from last week, I believe I said it would be 17-20, and you said 23-16. That would have made it 40-36. Still not enough points.
But close. Our combined projected scores were close to the actual. Now, granted, take this win, take this comeback. Obviously, we hope we're never in a down 21 again and have to do it. Their secondary was beat up. They had young folks out there. They were also gassed. What did you say? You told me the stat of how far their DBs had to run covering in this game.
Oh, the next gen stats. Yes, they ran over 6,100 yards. So 3.5 miles is how much their secondary ran on Sunday, chasing Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
But the thing that really amazed me, because I expected Tua and Waddle to burn that secondary sometimes, I did not expect the offensive line to play as well as they did. The Baltimore has a good defensive front, and they were there. And man, that offensive line looked good, you know, as far as, you know, a little bit of running and a lot of actually, I didn't realize this, except if you're listening, obviously, if you listen to this, you probably listen to the other Finsider radios and Jake and Josh show. They mentioned that the sack that was given up, it wasn't even by the offensive lineman. It was Durham Smythe gave it up. So kudos. Greg Little.
The Ravens were getting pressure in the first half a little bit. I mean, like you said, not a lot of, like, one sack, I think, and it was not even on the offensive line. But in the second half, they were exceptional. There was almost no rush at all. Aside from, there was that one play where the guy was coming off the edge.
Justin Houston,
spun out of. But yeah, just a very, very solid performance all the way around.
Yep.
Yeah, very, very happy to see it. And it's house money now at this point, because we were talking about this as well. Rob and I like to pick the different quadrants of the season and how we see them turning out. I feel like this is the toughest quadrant, the first four games that we have. And to be 2-0 out of the gate, I would have been happy with 1-3 out of these first four games. And we're already above that. So
I predicted 2-2, and that's the worst we can do in them now. And that Bengals game does not look as bad, as scary as it did before. So Which takes us into the next game. I guess we got to do it after the break, because there was a lot of recap in the recap there.
There was so much to talk about, like I said, and we didn't even get to the insane numbers that Waddle and Hill put up. We'll get to that in fantasy camp later on. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to preview the Buffalo game and get into Pick'em and our degenerate side of things. So please stay tuned. And we're back. I think. Are we back, Rob?
We are back.
Fantastic. So, as alluded to before the break, this is always, well, I guess we play them twice a year. So these are my two least favorite weeks of the season have become the Buffalo Bills weeks. Begrudgingly, they are the best team in the NFL, I think. I don't think that's really up for debate right now.
It's early.
How good Josh Allen is. I hate it. Actually hate it. Like, can't stand it. So they're coming to town. They have just owned us of late. The games aren't even close, typically. There's spurts where it looks like they could be close. But I still have nightmares about the last year's week two, when they came into Miami and just wrecked us. They didn't even play that good, and they still won 35-0, and it was never close. And that was one of the worst Sundays, I think, of my life. So the Bills are wrecking people again. They crushed the Super Bowl champion Rams on opening night, and then they destroyed the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football last week and just made a joke of it, honestly. Josh Allen looks like a literal man playing amongst boys, which is crazy given that it's the NFL and these guys are all enormous. I don't see us stopping the Bills on Sunday.
Okay.
Before I
don't want to get all, you know, super optimistic, but before I get
the injury report.
Yeah. So I just want to, these
is Josh Allen on there.
Let's not yet.
Okay. I'm gonna, yes. No, let's not jinx.
No, we're not. We're not. We're not hoping for that. But these are the things going in our favor. Yes, they're a better team than us. Whatever. We're playing with house money at this point. We end up 2-2, 3-1 after the first four games. That's amazing. Even if we lose this division game, we always thought, you know, we were a wild card team. Granted, we win this game and we're talking division, we can all go crazy after that. But short rest for Buffalo. They played Monday night. coming to Miami to play in the Heat. So they're on the road, on short rest. And their two safeties, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, either of them. That's not a good sign. They're not even limited. Now, tomorrow's injury report will be the whole thing. So if those one or both of those guys don't play, that makes this a much different game because those guys are good. They're as good as ours.
If both of them don't play, then I still think we don't win, but it will be a closer game. I would think, but if one of them misses, the other one is good enough to probably.
But on the other side of that, their defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, one of their cornerbacks Dane Jackson's, also have not practiced this week. And then they had a bunch of guys. Gabe Davis is probably going to play. He's been limited all week, but I believe he'll play. Their center Mitch Morse limited in practice this week. Like, they're a little banged up. So, you know, I'll take it. I'll take an advantage.
And if you scroll, I guess, down on your screen, our injury report not looking so hot either. Taron Armstead, I think this is just going to be like a season-long thing with him. Like,
yeah,
he's going to be on the, like, not practicing much, hopefully playing every Sunday. He's by far the best offensive lineman we have.
Other
name that jumps out to you on this list is Xavien Howard.
He was limited today.
Limited in practice on Thursday.
So I'm not too worried. He was out there again to Friday. Friday's the big thing. If they get in, if they get in full practices on Friday, we're in good shape. Melvin Ingram, vet rest. Now the Hunter Long and Tanner Connor. Connor's actually practicing, but Hunter Long, hasn't practiced this week. I mean, we haven't really been using him much. So that shouldn't hurt us at all. Cedric Wilson's limited. We'll be all right. And Channing Tindall with his full participant. I've heard some folks actually, again, Josh from the Finsider, was asking you folks on Twitter if we should use Tindall as a spy. I mean, we talked about it last week. Is that an option? Should he be spying Lamar? Should he be spying? I mean, he's fast. He's fast as all heck. So
he didn't even dress in Baltimore. I don't know if that was due to the illness or what. But
it's because he changed his number. They still had the 51s, and they didn't have any 41s for him to wear.
No idea. How good has Melvin Ingram looked, by the way?
Like, so
much
good.
Better than I thought. He's got a lot left, apparently. I didn't think he really. I thought he was done. So he's looked amazing. I feel like he's been great.
So I think a lot of that is because the defensive line is good, right? There's no
Correct.
Doubling him when you've got Phillips and Agba and Wilkins,
Siler,
and Sealer,
Wilkins, Davis, just crushing people on the inside. Yeah, it's nice. I think they'll play better this week, but I do think Buffalo's they're a better team than Baltimore, quite frankly. And Josh Allen is just, like I said, he's unfortunately very, very good. So I'm going to say Buffalo 31, Miami 20.
You're the worst. Although you did say they'd lose to the Ravens, and you were stupidly wrong about that as well. So that's okay.
Gladly. And yes, very, very happy about that.
So I'm torn on this because I agree right now on paper, you know, the Bills are the better team. Ugh, sucks to say. I was a little nervous, you know, even before the Ravens game, I was a little nervous. And in my head, I'm like, I just want to see the offense click a little more than they did in week one, right? I want to see progression. The team we have now isn't going to be as good as the team we have at the end of the season, right? This team's going to get better as they learn to play and, you know, and they adjust and whatnot. I think playing this game 10 times, the Bills probably win 7. But this is one of the three. This is one of the ones that we win. I'm saying Dolphins 35, Buffalo 32. Would I put a lot of money on it? No. Do I see a path for it happening? Yes. I think it can.
I would not be as shocked if they won this
year.
Yeah.
Oh, after last week, yes. Because now we know that Hill and Waddle is a true – this is a thing.
It's an advantage.
This is crazy, and McDaniel knows how to use it. Can we slow down Allen? I mean, our defense is, like we said in the last segment, they're better than they looked. but the Bills are good. They don't run, but Allen runs. I don't know. Hopefully they got some wrinkles to figure out to slow them down. I think we can their defense is good. This is interesting. And again, if we lose this game, it's okay. That this is okay. This could be a learning thing along the way.
I think getting out of these first four games at 2-2 or 3-1,
it's huge.
4-0 would be amazing, but any of those outcomes is better than what I thought we were going to do.
The next six games,
the schedule gets easier after.
Yeah, the next six games after that are a cakewalk. So, well, not a cakewalk, but their games will probably be favored in every one. Maybe because Minnesota is the best team we play, and that's here in Miami. Yeah, there's a good chance we're favored in every one of those games, so that's pretty amazing. Oh,
all
here's
right. One other thing before we move on to pick 'em. I did see this on Twitter earlier today. Josh Allen, who I really don't like him and have never liked him, but he was doing an interview, and they asked him about Tua, and he had a lot of nice things to say.
Yeah.
Said he was happy to see him do well. That he's, obviously as a Bills fan and as a Bills player and, someone who supports their fans, obviously, he hates seeing that, the Dolphins are performing well and those sorts of things. But, he said he had a, soft spot kind of for Tua because he understands what it's like to have a lot of hate being thrown your way. Glad to see, because Allen got a lot of hate.
To be fair, it was a lot of his was earned, though. He threw very poor. He was very inaccurate.
Correct. Yeah.
But this is true. One thing I want is this. That's the other thing I forgot. So us Tunon folks, us Dolphin lovers, we hated seeing the Patriots above us in the power rankings to start the season, and how the national media was crapping on us. But you know what? Now that I see the team and I see how good it is, bring it on. I don't want them all. I want them all picking against us, saying, yeah, well, you're sure Tua could throw for 500 yards, but can he do it every week? Screw them all.
Who does it every week?
I want them all to be naysayers, and I want to crush them all. I don't want to see them on the you can't be on this bandwagon. This bandwagon's full. Close the doors to the bandwagon, James. That's it.
I remember I sent Tua stats to my friend who's a Patriots fan that has screamed over and over again how much better Mac Jones is than Tua. And I sent him those stats, and I was like, what are the odds that Mac Jones achieves these amount of passing yards and touchdowns by week four?
Yeah, that's like that was always situation. It was never – he never looked – like special. He's a Tannehill. Like, he's competent. Oh, this is so much fun. All right. Where are we going?
So let's get into pick 'em. I'm gonna recap because I won last week. I won pick 'em. So
but I had the call of the century.
The Chargers-Chiefs one?
The Chargers-Chiefs. I'm like, man, I don't like that 0.5. That 3.5 is just, half point's too much. So I took the Chargers, and they lose by three.
I would have clean swept you if the Chargers coach wasn't an idiot. And he went for the touchdown on fourth down. When you kick the field goal every time to extend the game, I mean, he got the touchdown. So, I mean, it was, in hindsight, it's the right call. But, like, strategy-wise, if you don't get that touchdown, you don't get it on fourth down, your game is over. You don't get to keep playing. So, I don't know.
He got it.
It was just – anyway, you got your cover, your backdoor cover there. But I had you in the other games. I had the Patriots. -2.5. They won by three. And I had the Jaguars at home, the home dogs.
To be fair, I did not know Pittman was out at the time of that pick, but I don't know if he would have
helped.
Neither
did I, but it would not have mattered. No. Pittman is not worth 24 points. I know that much.
Yeah, that's true. 27.5 because they were favored.
there you go.
The Steelers, honest, they were – Mac, I didn't watch much of that game. I didn't watch any of that game, but I saw there were some highlights of Mac Jones just not seeing wide open guys. But like the one on their touchdown drive, I remember it was on the red zone. The Steelers dropped an interception, like right in the numbers, dropped an interception. And then the Pats went down to score the touchdown. That honestly, that hurt. That one hurt.
Yeah. I that game was on the TV next door, so every time I looked up, you wouldn't even have known that there were end zones because there was just nobody anywhere near an end zone.
No, it was terrible.
Game. Yeah. All right. So this week, we have already picked our games. I don't like the Carolina Panthers, but I really don't like the New Orleans Saints. I think we've seen them. So I'm going to take the home dog. Panthers getting 2.5 at home. I'm going to take the Panthers. So that gives Rob the Saints.
A lot of home dogs this week, which is like, but I like all the road teams, which is death. So this would be like the, you know, don't bet this week. There's too many of those kind of games. I think the Bucks defense is for real. I think the Saints offense is actually capable in their weird, ugly way.
We'll see.
Panthers.
I mean, they barely beat the Falcons. Like, they had to, like, have a perfect fourth quarter to beat the Falcons.
Falcons should have beat the Rams. I mean.
And should have. They were down the whole game. They just had one of the. They were. Their crazy comeback fell short.
True. But,
and the Rams, I think, are not really that great right now at the moment either. So, anyway. All right. I like the Panthers in this game. I don't like the Panthers as a football team, but home dog getting 2.5. I think they win this game. Next one is Texans at Bears. Bears favored by 2.5 at home. I agree with you that the Texans are scrappy. I like Justin Fields in this one, though. I think the Bears
they
take it by a field goal.
I don't know what is going on in Chicago. They have thrown like 20 passes. It is like gross. I mean, granted, one game was the monsoon, but the other game they didn't throw anything either, and they were down all game. Weird. Terrible.
They're not a good team, but I think they're 3 points better than the Texans at home. And then we have the Ravens at the Patriots. Ravens are favored by 2.5. I'm going to take the Pats again. Pats tend to own Baltimore. They actually beat Lamar Jackson when Cam Newton was their quarterback. So I think Lamar has a problem with Belichick defenses. And I don't think they're going to win this game. I think the Patriots win at home.
So I enjoy this game because this feels like our turd bowl because these are the two teams we've already beaten up on.
Correct.
And which team, I mean, granted, I get what you're saying, but Baltimore was a much better team than New England.
Oh, I agree with that as well.
Think I don't see Mac Jones doing anything against that defense. And I know the New England's defense is okay, but I don't even think they're as good as us. I think Belichick's too old. I think he's done. It's Ravens. Taking the Ravens.
All right. I hope I'm wrong, honestly, because I want the Patriots to lose, but I think they win this one. All right, so you went 2-1 week one. I went 2-1 last week. We are tied. We'll see how we do this week. On to the degenerate side of things. So this is our new segment for this year where we pick prop bets from the Dolphins games on Sunday. So prop bets, for those of you that are not degenerate gamblers like Rob and myself, are mini bets within the game where you can wager whether or not Tua Tagovailoa is going to throw for over 225 yards or Lamar Jackson's going to rush for over 47.5 yards. So we're doing three of these every week, and we're seeing how we did. Rob crushed me, so I will let him recap what happened to us last week.
So you, for the second time in a row, took the under on Tua's yardage, and
happily was wrong.
And happily was wrong. Your one win, you took the over on Lamar's rushing, and he crushed the 47.5. You took the under on Lamar's passing, and Lamar, we didn't really mention it, Lamar was amazing. He was amazing.
I said I was openly.
Yeah. Okay. But
I was. Yeah. He's incredible.
But I mean, after the game, it was like, holy crap. If we didn't complete that comeback, they were just talking that, you know, it's just Lamar is all people are talking about.
Yeah.
So you had under for 254 and he went over that. So
he sure did.
I thought the Edmonds rushing total was too high at 44.5, and heck, I didn't even know he wasn't going to start. So I hit the under, and then since I am Roptimist, I had the over for both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle's yardage, and I don't have to tell you that they more than tripled the 68 and a half and 58 and a half yard gambling totals with 190 and 171. Fantastic.
One of the most amazing performances by a wide receiver duo, I think, in the history of the NFL. I don't know if that'll ever be repeated.
Pretty crazy. With the 11 catches each. I mean,
yeah. And Hill had some, I mean, Waddle had some bad drops too.
Like, and Hill was sat out a quarter with cramps.
I know. Insane.
All right. Just. So what are we looking at? So this week, obviously, we're going to pick props from the Buffalo Dolphins game. So I am going crazy. You know what? I'm just doing it.
Rob's buying the passing offense.
Over 253 and a half passing yards. Give it to me. Over Waddle, 61 and a half receiving yards. Give it to me. Over Tyreek Hill, 72 and a half receiving yards. Give it to me. I'm taking him. I'm just going passing game overs. Until I'm proven wrong, I'm doing it. So, my naysayer friend, where are you going?
So, I'm going all overs as well. Not on the Dolphins passing game though. So I'm going to take the over on the Josh Allen passing yards at 274 and a half. I feel like he throws for 274 yards
in his sleep
every week, very, very easily without problem. So I feel like he will go over that. This is another one where I feel like this is just easy money. 37 and a half rushing yards for him. I feel like he has a 40-yard rush against this defense every time he plays against us. So I think he'll go over 37 and a half yards rushing. So the over on both Josh Allen performances. And then this was a sneaky one that was in there that I thought it looked odd. Chase Edmonds, 17 and a half receiving yards. I'll take the over on that. I feel like there's going to be some pressure on Tua, a lot of dump offs. McDaniels knows how to counter those things, dump offs, screen passes.
That's my favorite bet of the day, actually. Like, if I, you know, for real money, I think that's the best shot of hitting. That feels really low. He had 40 in the first game. Did he have any catches in
I don't think so.
I guess
I think maybe the thinking there is that they're going to
He had one catch for 8 yards in the last game, but so
maybe they're
going to
be behind again and like he's not going to be featured in the offense. I feel like if he is, you know, I feel like there's going to be some early on, you know, short passes to him, some dump offs and things like that. So, all right. So there you guys have it. That is the degenerate side of things. Hopefully I have not done very well in this. You can see who the real degenerate between the two of us is. That would be Rob. But we are at time for our second segment. When we come back, we're going to do our favorite part of the show, Fantasy Camp. Got a lot of nonsense. And then some definitely want to call out some of our social media and our email. Some of those things we've been neglecting them, which we're notorious for doing.
You should just give me control of these things so we could actually
respond. Yeah, but you have control of a lot, and, you know, I don't know.
Give me the Twitter. Give me the Twitter password. We need some more tweets.
Please, stay tuned. And we're back. All right, so, Rob, without further ado, hit it.
Dolphins.
All right. So for any new listeners we have this week, Miami Dolphins Fantasy Camp is where Rob and I attempt to make fantasy teams from Miami comprised entirely of Miami Dolphins skill players. In years past, this was an effort in futility. This year is proving to be a lot of fun. I believe Hill and Waddle individually, their individual performances from last week would have been high scores in most of our fantasy camp games from the last two seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was fortunate. I won. So I'm 2-0 in fantasy camp this year now. So I won the first week 23-20.5. And last week I won 58-39.5. Thanks mostly due to my getting Gesicki and Mostert on my team. And then Rob ended up with Edmonds and Smythe and Sed Wilson Jr., who didn't really do much. But he did have Waddle, who had 34 points, and then I had Hill, and they kind of canceled each other out. He had 35.
They canceled each other out each week so far. Like, we've obviously, those are the first two picks every week, and so far they've canceled each other out.
Correct. My team is named the Ty Freaks this year, after our friend Tyreek. And then Rob was the Waddlers last year and is again the Waddlers this year. So
you were named after Gasecki last year, and I almost,
I believe I was the Gasecki's.
Yeah. I almost want to call you the Fast Gerties now. Enough has been right. Enough has been made end zone celebration. But yeah, yes,
that was so bad, and I like that he owned that as well. That was pretty great.
That was
all right. So I was able to pick first last week. So Rob, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's almost as much as I love fantasy camp. We're getting the point. I mean, it's all Hill and Waddle. And then there's three other guys that could be. This might end up just being, okay, who gets the Waddle Mostert team? Who gets the Hill Edmonds team? But yeah, I'll take.
Might need to spice it up a little bit. So I was gonna wait till we got to the social media and email part of the show to mention this. But one of our longtime listeners, Scott, sent us an email and had a suggestion for us. Ooh. For fantasy camp this year. Was to change the defensive scoring. We changed it a little bit, but I think he was suggesting to go a little bit more, like adding more points for anything done by the defense.
Pass defenses, assists.
Like those sorts of things, like full points for tackles, like those kinds of things to, spice it up, maybe have it make more of a difference, because none of us have ever hit on a defensive player, I don't think. So, because you really need that. You're betting on the touchdown. It's hard. So yeah. we should revisit that. We might do that for next week.
Oh no, Scott, I like him more than I like you. I'm taking his advice. I'm gonna come
I,
up.
I like with, Scott more than I like.
I'm gonna take up a new. I will come up with a new scoring system. If it helps me, I will implement it this week. If it doesn't help me, we'll start it next.
All right. So you took Tyreek. That means I got two picks. I'm going to take Waddle, obviously, and then I'm going to go with Mostert. I think if things go to plan, I think this is going to be another game where we try to run the ball and keep the ball away from the Bills. So give me Mostert. I think that's the guy they use in those situations.
Interesting, since, I mean, he had more catches than Edmonds, but Edmonds is the more prototypical receiving back. And the way you've been poo-pooing on my Miami Dolphins, I would think you would think they were going to be coming from behind and having those dump-offs. So I will take Edmonds.
I'm hedging one way or the other.
I like that.
Like I'm going to be right on one side.
All right. Well, last week I gave you crap for always having Gesicki and taking him, but he had the touchdown.
I believe your exact words were, I'm not going to draft him until he does something.
True. And he did something, so I'm going
to
draft him.
Took all of one week for that to happen.
Hey, I want him to be part of this.
We'll be clear. We all want them all to do well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know, because you said... I knew Cedric Wilson was banged up. I didn't know if he got in the game and got banged up, or maybe he didn't play at all.
I thought he didn't dress. I thought he didn't play.
That's possible, which makes, Gesicki is a wide receiver. So he could be our third best wide receiver. Especially,
I mean, he is our third best wide receiver, even if Wilson dresses and.
Yeah, true. So, okay. So I'll take Edmonds and Gesicki. So now it gets interesting. Who do you want?
Yeah, now we're getting to the dregs. I like Sherfield. I like Trent Sherfield. He's proved to be more than just a camp body, which is who I thought he was when they signed him. So I'll take Sherfield, and then I'll bet on Wilson getting healthy and getting dressed this week. I'll take Wilson.
All right. There's been – I think you had Sherfield this week, and I think that was the first time one of us got points from our fourth player.
Yeah.
Oh no, I got one catch for 5 yards from Smythe.
From Smythe. Yeah.
All right. I am going, you know what? This is how Mitt, I listen to way too many Dolphins podcasts. The Travis Wingfield, who is the, works for the Dolphins, has his Drive Time podcast. His Twitter is during training camp is a must follow because he gives you like play by play as it's going. He went to the same college that River Craycraft went to, so as I pick River Craycraft as my player, I can't help but thinking, go Cougs. He says go Cougs, I say go Cougs when I see River Craycraft, and I don't care about the Cougs at all. So go Cougs, River Craycraft. That's for you, Travis. And since I take the I'm going to mix it up, go back to last year's Stallworth. I'm going with Ogba. I'm going to hope he does... Maybe get some sax or does something funky. We've been mostly playing with our great safeties. I'm going back to Ogba, see what happens.
I'm gonna roll the dice again with Holland. I feel like he's a big play waiting to happen every week. Give me Javon Holland. I think hopefully this is the week where it happens. But yeah, I love me some Javon Holland. Give me Javon Holland.
I don't dislike that.
All right. So hopefully I get to 3-0. I know I dominated you in fantasy camp last year as well. So
you know what? Nobody remembers.
I know. It's crazy. If only we kept score or saved the scores. So yeah, I'm up 2-0 in fantasy camp. So hopefully this is the week. So before we get to nonsense, I would like to try and make it a point every week to talk about our social media presence. We have a Twitter at T Blowhole. It's pretty active. Please give us a follow if you can. We also have an Instagram account. It is the Blowhole Podcast. Lots of funny memes on there. If you're so inclined, please give us a follow. We could really use some followers on the gram. And then our email. Yes, our email. This is, as Scott reminded me today, or asked me today, did we change our email? No, we did not. I just haven't been checking it because I'm
the worst,
as Rob likes to say. So our email is theblowholeradio@gmail.com. All one word, theblowholeradio.
Lowercase. Idiot.
Please shoot us an email. Guaranteed we will mention you on the podcast. You can shoot us a DM in Twitter or Instagram as well. Just, you know, let us know. Tell us how terrible we are and how stupid we are. That's fine, too. Scott's always very positive, so... always love hearing from Scott. So Scott, sorry I missed your email last week. Glad I was able to find it this week. Thanks for reaching out and reminding me. I will make it a point this year. I am out of preseason form. I am in regular season form. We're doing social media and emails this year. We're gonna be more active.
Yes.
You're gonna see more from us.
Thanks to all of our listeners. And Scott, I'm sorry James is an idiot.
I'm also sorry that I'm an idiot. So have you started watching House of the Dragon? I'm going to ask you every single week.
And no, I have not. I don't have time for that.
What about Rings of Power? Are you up to date on that?
I have not watched another one since last week, so I'm one or two behind now.
I just watched episode 3 last night. It's pretty good. House of the Dragon is much better, I feel, but that's still a good watch. And then Andor started last night. I did not haven't started that yet on Disney Plus, the Star Wars movie about Captain Andor. For
that's
those
a
of you
series,
that are familiar
right?
with Rogue One, which was I think one of the better Star Wars movies. It's his backstory. So he was one of the original rebels that stole the plans to the Death Star, or helped steal the plans to the Death Star, and really
thought he looked pretty familiar.
Yeah, important part of the story. So She-Hulk, you up to speed on that one?
I didn't see today's, but I think one drops today, but yeah, I mean, it's just fun. It's silly, but I enjoy it. But, I watched, the new Fletch movie, Confess Fletch, which
there's a new Fletch. It's not Chevy Chase, right?
It's John Hamm.
Oh, what's it on?
I think it's like theaters or on demand where you probably have to pay I paid the theater price. I'm old, so the original Chevy Chase.
Is it a
Chase
reboot?
Fletches,
is it a prequel, spinoff?
It's so what I didn't know is there were like 9 Fletch books and the Chevy Chase one was loosely based on it. This is more apparently closer based on the books. Similar thing. Charming guy bumbles his way through weird, through things. And I liked it. It's fine. It's fun. It's not great. I'm a lover of the original ones. So it's weird not being a young Chevy Chase, but there is no young Chevy Chase anymore. And I like me some John Hamm. So
yeah, I like
it. It was fine. It's, I probably wouldn't. I'd wait for it to be free on one of your streamers, but it's worth sitting through.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All the Time?
Oh yeah, so good.
I still haven't seen that yet.
Oh my god, that's one of the best. That's one of the better movies to come out in a long time.
Yeah, I keep meaning to rent it. I just we had tickets to go see it at the theater, but I wasn't able to. We had to cancel because something came up. But yeah, I do want to. I definitely want to go see that. So, or rent it at least to watch it. Anything else in the nonsense department that?
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I don't feel like I've been.
There's so much TV. I can't believe you're not watching House of the Dragon. I'm just like.
It's one of the ones it's hard to get the lady into, and then if she doesn't want to watch it, I'm like, I don't have a lot of time to watch things that only I watch, like Archer. I'm caught up on Archer. It's good again. It's been good since
I stopped watching it. Did you ever watch the precursor to Archer, Frisky Dingo? Do you remember
Oh
that?
yeah, that was awesome.
That was one of my all-time favorite Adult Swim things. If you can find that anywhere streaming, I highly recommend that. It's hysterical.
Pick Archer up from when he gets out of the coma. It's worth watching again. Let's go, Dolphins! Go win the division!
Fins up!